Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 58 countries, such as the US, the UK, India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama, New Zealand, Japan, all over the world. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use that to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you listen to us live, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, when I am joined by amazing and impactful entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, authors, business owners, people who are making their mark in the world. You can also join our Facebook group community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can hit us up right on Facebook at Life Transformation Radio Community. Join the group, and you can interact with the guests and the other members of the group. You can also subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn, and the Google Play Music app. Wherever you are comfortable listening, you can subscribe, rate, and review the show. We love reading the reviews that you guys put and the comments that you guys are giving us. It kind of makes us feel great about what we're doing. So on the show are, like I said, entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, business owners, philanthropists. I mean, just people who are doing amazing, amazing things in the world. And my guest today does exactly that. So please help me welcome to the show, Trish Roberts. What is going on today, Trish?
Hey, I'm so happy to be here, Sean. Thanks for having me.
We've had this scheduled for some time, and I am super, super pumped to have you on the show so that people can learn about your transformational moment. And I know people are going to get like energized. You're going to wow them. I'm super pumped for this.
I hope so. That'd be great.
Yeah. So for those listening, if you are inspired or anything resonates with you, or you just have a question, you can call into the show at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. My team is standing by to field any questions and to get you on the show. We want to make sure that they're legitimate questions, though. So this show, or this episode, is entitled Re-Envision Your Life with Trish Roberts. In her professional career as a professional singer, actor, dancer, Trish wowed audiences all across the country for over 20 years. However, in 2000, Trish was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Trish made a life-changing decision to overcome her psychological and physical limitations, both by releasing excess weight, working with a trainer, and becoming healthy and strong. She has now developed a new level of creativity, much to her delight. She is a successful motivational speaker, a coach, and singer-songwriter. Trish works with women 35 and over, helping them to re-envision and re-energize their goals and desires, physically, professionally, and psychologically. Trish helps women all across the world to realize their potential in ways that life becomes fulfilling and full of purpose. Leading by example, Trish continues to gain credibility and positioning as a leader for all women who are or have dealt with some type of adversity. Now, you can contact Trish and schedule a call with her by emailing Coach Trish Roberts and the number 7. Coach Trish Roberts, Trish is T-R-I-S-H, Coach Trish Roberts, the number 7, at gmail.com. And you can look her up on Facebook, Trish Roberts, and then the number 4. So reading all that, I am like, wow, like you went through this. And now it's completely transformed your life. And so I, you know, the first question I always ask is why? Why were you, or why are you, professional singer, actor, dancer? But moreover, why move into the speaker and coaching space after your diagnosis?
Well, I didn't do that immediately. I was not a happy camper for quite a while. But eventually, I basically one day I became first. I trained and became a music therapist, so I had that field going on. At least I could use my voice for, you know, to help people, and I love that profession. It's a great profession, but you know, the loss and the grief I had over losing. I mean, I'd been performing since I was a little kid, and it was just all I knew until then. I kind of had to remake my whole identity, and it took me a number of years to really let go of the grief. I remember that one day I was home all alone, nobody here, had all the windows and doors shut, and I just lost it. I mean, I cried and I yelled and I screamed at the universe, and I was so mad, and I just went on like that for hours straight, and then and then I stopped, and it was like the world had turned white to color again. It was like something was totally lifted off my shoulders, and I think it was acceptance. So after that, I began noticing a lot. Gosh, I was hearing every other day that so-and-so has MS. Can I ever call you? And I'm like, absolutely, you know. And usually people who are newly diagnosed don't really want to talk about it right away. So often they didn't call. But, you know, that's a whole, it's kind of like MS is in phases. I don't know if people know, but just to explain what multiple sclerosis is, it's an autoimmune. Yeah, it's an autoimmune disease, chronic disease in at this point in time, but we're really hoping for a cure pretty soon. So what happens is it affects the central nervous system, and sometimes lesions form on the spine or in the brain, and the myelin sheath, which surrounds the spine, has lesions. So the messages coming from the brain going to the body don't always get there. So for instance, my issue, it's so different for everyone, but my issue is I have trouble walking. I mean, I can walk, but I can't walk any distance. Now, I want to talk more to you about exercise later, but I just wanted to tell you, I can't walk a quarter of a mile, but I was just deadlifting 165 pounds the other day.
Whoa. Wow.
So, I know. I tell, that's more than my husband weighs. so he jumps when I go after him.
Wow.
After I had my little hissy fit, I kind of thought that I was hiding my condition fairly well. But one day I was walking down the stairs, and there was a man walking up the stairs, and he said, "Well, we can certainly see who's been at the bar already today." And I said, "No, I have multiple sclerosis." And I thought that guy was going to crawl into a hole.
Right? That's karma, man. Don't be talking crap.
Yeah,
on
you got to be careful what you say to people. But I know there are people that have MS that are afraid people are going to think they're an alcoholic because they're unsteady or, you know, wobbly. So that's a common problem, actually, especially for celebrities that have MS.
Wow.
Too many
Yeah. So what was it like though? Like getting that news. I mean, was it? I mean, did you feel like your life was? I mean, drastically going to change? I mean, did you know anything about MS when you were first told about it?
Not much. I knew a little because I had had some like numbness and tingling on my right side, and I knew something wasn't right. So I went to a chiropractor, and he said, I just think you have a pinched nerve. I wouldn't worry about it. And so eventually, you know, I started to fall and things like that, things that just didn't make any sense. So I went to a neurologist. But I'll tell you what, when the news came back that the diagnosis was multiple sclerosis, my life came crashing down around me. I mean, I was heartbroken. I've been a professional performer since I was 13 years old. You know, I remember my first professional job was a country band. They called my parents and asked if I could sing with them, and I was 14 and I didn't know what I was doing, but I did it anyway. And, you know, just from there on, I've never taken an ACT or an SAT. I just sang my way into colleges and everything else. So that's,
wow.
Music has really been my friend all my life, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So take us through that. So you get the news and then, you know, I mean, obviously you're devastated, but what was the transformation like? Was it like a new getting used to? Was it new mindset? I mean, you talked about acceptance, which I talk about in depth in some of my talks as a speaker. We talk about acknowledging. So I'd like to talk about that real quick. Acceptance and acknowledgement, you don't have to like it. And somebody can do something bad to you and you can accept it and acknowledge it, but it still doesn't make it right. You know,
right.
Accepting and acknowledging something doesn't make it okay.
No.
It just makes you okay. And that
it makes you better
about acceptance.
Yeah. That's right.
Acceptance and acknowledgement makes you better. So talk about that. Like talk about that acceptance portion.
I always tell my clients, you know, you have to like really let yourself feel your feelings. And whether it's someone with multiple sclerosis or another kind of adversity, you have to. It took me 8 years before I could get to that. I don't know why it took so long. I don't know why it happened that day, but it did. And thank God it did, because my life changed 360 that day. You know, eventually, I mean, I had been seeing clients as a music therapist. I've been seeing clients in Manhattan, and then eventually got kind of difficult to go into Manhattan. So I saw a house, and I thought, you know, I know that there's a lot of people that have multiple sclerosis, and I know there are 3.2 people globally, 3.2 million people, sorry, globally.
Wow.
And in the United States, they don't really have an exact estimate, but they're saying at least 500,000. So, and every day I hear about someone else. Yeah. Every day I hear about someone else who got it. And I'm so curious as to whether something environmental is affecting us or, you know, I know there is a certain percentage of it that's genetic, but there's a lot that isn't. And that's really why I'm fired up, because probably the best thing I ever did for myself is I asked a friend of mine if he knew a trainer, and I went and I began to work out. And I'll tell you what, after 6 months, even I began to feel like a different person. I just had more energy. I was not a first. When I first started working out, I would go home and sleep for 2 hours afterwards.
Right.
But yeah, definitely. But there are so many people with this disease that think they can't do anything, and they can. They can do so much. I mean, I never thought I was going to be a speaker. And the thing about that was so wonderful is it's like coming full circle from acting, singing, dancing on stages to being a speaker on stages. When I got there, I was like, I'm home again.
Right.
So I love speaking, and I love helping people know that they can do more, and that it's not their disability or their adversity. They just happen to have one. It's not them. It's not their personality. It's not them as a human mm-hmm. being. Exercise, they're finding, is almost as helpful as the MS medication. So I just urge my clients to move as much as they can. You know, start slow, start stretching, start walking if you can, and just build it from there.
So you said before that it affects the central nervous system. So at what point do you start seeing changes? You know, I mean, you're not in a wheelchair like right away or if ever. But I mean, is it like a gradual thing? Is it a really fast-paced?
It's not fast-paced for me. If you have primary progressive MS, it's not exactly fast-paced, but you become more, it's more difficult. I was diagnosed with relapsing remitting, which I think through time has moved into secondary progressive. So that's over 17 years. And my last checkup, my doctor was like, it's almost like you're in remission, and it's because of exercise. I know it's because of exercise.
That's awesome.
And I've been
told
that.
And eating right and nutrition and
because nutrition is very specific for multiple sclerosis, because inflammation is a big problem, and you mm-hmm. want to get your inflammation down as much as possible.
Wow. So incredible, incredible. So talk about that transformational. Let's go back to that transformational moment. So you're diagnosed and you're dealing with it. You get to the acceptance part. What do you think was that moment of transformation? Was it the yelling, or was it the decision to, I'm going to start working out, and I'm going to start eating right, and I'm going to start, like, walk us through that mindset that someone has to have. What was that pivotal moment, that transformational moment that put you on the path to what you're doing right now?
Well, I think that kind of little breakdown that I had, I wasn't planned. I had no idea what's going to happen. And I wish it could have happened a lot earlier, but it took 8 years for me to get there. And that was definitely a transformational moment, because all of a sudden I just realized there were other things I could do. And one thing I started to do almost immediately was horseback ride, which is very good if you have MS. So I started doing that, and I love it. I've been riding since I was a little kid, so I even had a horse for a couple of years. So I did that, and then I realized, you know, there are a lot of things out there that you can still do. I became an ordained non-denominational minister, and I married.
Oh, wow.
I helped over 100 couples both create the wedding of their dreams, and then I would officiate at it. And it was so great, because being with people on like one of the most important days of their life and having something to do with it is just amazing. It was just amazing. So there were a lot of things I was doing that were very fulfilling. And I'm just babbling on, so don't interrupt me.
No, I love it. No, that's great. You know, I've heard of there's a stable down here in North Carolina where I'm at, and they have it's like a therapy stable, and like they have, you know, big horses, little horses, they have like miniature ponies and stuff. But but one of the things is like it's like a therapy stable, and they have the horses. Yep. You take them. You know, you see people horseback riding, you know, you let them pet them. If they can't ride, then obviously they, you know, they just hang out with the animals, you know what I mean? And you hear about therapy dogs and everything. I'd like to have I'm not even joking. I'd just like to have a therapy monkey. I would love to have a therapy monkey.
Why
I don't know.
Monkey?
Or like a, I just, Because who has a monkey? Like, who has a pet monkey? And I could take them everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Being in the military, like, we get service dogs. Like, if we need one, you know, we get service dogs.
That's
and
true.
I'm totally not making fun of anybody. I'm
no.
totally dead serious. Like I would love to have, like, and I have dogs, too. And my two dogs, so I had a pit bull. And everybody used to make fun of me. Oh, I got pit bulls. Oh, my God. But that was the best dog I've ever had. And,
they are so
and I was
sweet.
Devastated. I raised her. Like, I got her, like, 6 to 8 weeks, like, after she was born. And I raised her until she passed away. You know, she's like 11 or 12 years old or something like that. And so for 11 or 12 years, like, that, like, she went with me. She would sit on my lap when she was a puppy while I was driving a car. She went through all of my moves. You know, she would stay with a babysitter when I was deployed in the desert. And like, that was like, man, when I was going through my roughest moments of life, that was who I turned to, you know? So I was devastated when she died. And then I got new dogs, you know, and like, I have to have them, but I think that this is all the research that's out there. Like, it's proven, it's shown that you take a dog into, like, a hospital, you know, it just lifts people's spirits. Something about an animal, right? A fluffy, you know, animal. Not something that'll kill you, but like a, you know, like an animal that'll raise your spirits. That's what they do, you know? So a therapy monkey would be so cool. How can you get depressed with a therapy
if
monkey?
If people would not be treated by a monkey, because I think people think they're going to jump around or I think it would be very therapeutic for you.
I think it'd be very awesome. I'd be very happy. You know what I mean? But with the stable out here, I've seen, and I've heard of people going to these stables and these retreat centers and everything. And they have these different variety of animals and it's proven.
Yeah.
You know, so
definitely
horseback riding is big.
Yeah, the place I went was a therapy stable, but the nice thing was that they would always give me an hour by myself and, you know, I wasn't riding with kids or anything like that. And, you know, I learned more about riding English because I had been a Western rider and still haven't really got the post down that well, but it was great because the women that were there were fantastic. And what they have is a platform. So because I can't mount because my right leg just won't go over, but you get on the platform and you're able to get on the horse and then you just ride and I can dismount no problem. So that was just very healing. And I would love to be able to do it all the time. It's just very time consuming when there's not a stable next door.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, me and my sisters, my grandfather had horses growing up. And once we got older, you know, he got older, so he got rid of them and everything. But definitely my mom has horses. I definitely grew up working in stables and different things. So, yeah, that kind of tugs on my heartstrings a little bit because I love horseback riding. I know a lot about it. Take my kids horseback riding when I can.
Do you have girls or boys?
Yeah, so I've got a 15-year-old boy, an 11-year-old girl, a 4-year-old girl, and then I have a 7-month-old girl.
Wow, you got some babies.
Yeah. I got. yep.
Well,
definitely,
it's good for all of them, and I can only speak from a female perspective, but being able to control a horse and really get to know what you're doing is very empowering for a girl, you know? So I think it's a great thing to do. Yeah. I mean, and there are so many applications for it. We're using it as therapy now. And, you know, I was using it as something to help stabilize my core. And, you know, I realized, there's a lot of people with MS that are not doing anything with themselves. And I was walking, I have some Nordic poles, and I was walking down my cul-de-sac and my neighbor, it's so great to see you out doing stuff because my mess, and she doesn't do anything. She just lays in bed. And I know there are people like that, and I know there are people that aren't quite that bad, but who don't believe that they have anything to offer, and they do. They may not have found it yet, but that's what I'm for. I can help them find it.
Right.
And so,
very cool.
And, you know, because I know that so many people don't really understand what they could be capable of, I coach people to help them realize. Also, some people don't really understand everything about nutrition or fitness or, you know, all those things that have to do with our well-being. And to tell you the truth, I did an automated webinar on how to live with multiple sclerosis without giving up everything you love. But the advice in that, I think, could apply to anybody who's ever gone through an adversity. You know, you know, I made it specifically for people with MS, but anybody could get something out of it. So,
yeah. No, very cool. No, I absolutely agree. You know, I'm always about learning. Always about learning, because if you're not learning, you're not growing. If you're not growing, you're dying.
That's right.
So, I mean, I know me. If I was diagnosed, yeah, absolutely. And so I believe that if it was me in your situation, I would have went right to the computer. I would have, okay, I'm researching everything now. Like, that's just my personality. I have to know everything. I have to know what's going on, and nothing can be like, I don't like to be blindsided by anything. Like my biggest worry is that my daughters grow up, meet somebody, and they're like under 18, and all of a sudden she comes home pregnant. Like, I'm blindsided by this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so
that was
just
scary.
I just don't want to be blindsided by anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And life is
blindsided.
Like that sometimes. Life is like that sometimes. You get blindsided. How you handle the situations, right?
That's
tells a lot about your character.
Yes. I don't know about that, but are you telling me I have character? I think it's a matter of how much you want to really live life. You know, do you want to be active and vibrant and have an effect on people? That's what I care about. You know, I care about sharing anything that I've gone through and learned with people who need that information. So that's what's in the coaching for me. You know, I really,
love it. So what has been the best moment of your transformation so far?
I think when I've spoken 6 times now, I just started fairly recently, but every time I've gotten a standing ovation.
What?
That's awesome. Tells me, because I go up and I show my biceps and I tell everybody how much I'm lifting. And then I tell them I've had MS for 17 years. And people go crazy.
It's inspiring.
Well, you know, I mean, it's all in what you do with it. And, you know, I'm not saying I don't have bad days sometimes. I certainly do.
Yeah.
And nobody wants this disease. But, you know, what are you going to do? You have it. It's there. You got to live with it. But you can live with it the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So with everything good, there's always the not so nice and nitty gritty stuff that nobody really wants to talk about. So I asked you, what is one of the worst moments that you've encountered battling for 17 years with MS?
I've had some really bad falls. I haven't broken.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't broken anything, but I've had stitches a number of times, and I've, you know, and I once fell backwards down the stairs on my concrete garage floor. Now, You know I got to have a hard head because nothing happened.
Oh, jeez.
But I was very lucky because, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, when you're newly diagnosed, you kind of have to learn a whole new way to move. And, you know, now I still occasionally fall, but I'm so careful. I'm much more careful. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Sometimes I walk with a cane, you know, if I'm out, especially, and there are a lot of different levels to things and unevenness. So, you know, it's about taking care of yourself and having a good time at the same time and just
right.
thriving.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. I love the attitude about it too. Like, and it's, you said, I think you said earlier, it's like 8 years it took you to get to that moment of acceptance and really realizing, like, I really need to make a change and I really need to, you know, put my best foot forward, or, you know, whatever, you know, you were thinking at the time, but that it doesn't happen overnight. And people sometimes think
it
does.
Like, for me.
I'll get over it tomorrow.
Well, I don't understand why it hits people at different times, or if mm-hmm. it doesn't hit people, or, you know, there's no logic to it, but that's what it took. Probably something triggered me, and I don't know what it was, but that's how long it took. And, you know, I was lucky that I had the wherewithal to be able to get a master's and work in a field while I was still kind of grieving. And I think it really helped me a lot because I worked at a lot of psychiatric locked wards, and I worked with abused kids, and so with the music therapy. And it took my mind off my problems and helped me to deal with other people, you know, and to try to understand what they were going through and help them work through it. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So moving forward now from that moment, so you've come to terms, you've sought out coaches to help mm-hmm. you. So what is it that you do now? And what is it that you enjoy most about it?
I coach women 35 and over living with multiple sclerosis or any adversity that are having a very difficult time dealing with. What's most exciting about it for me is seeing them come to the realization that they can do things, they can accomplish things, they can have passions that they can fulfill, or they might have potentials they didn't even know they had. Those are the exciting moments in coaching. And when people, you know, I mean, I put on a lot of weight after I was diagnosed. I was lucky enough to find a medical weight loss specialist that I worked with, and he just helped me tremendously. And, you know, so I share that with people who want to drop weight as well. And that mm-hmm. is really cool too, if they're successful, because, you know, we take it in steps and go a little bit at a time. And, you know, we don't just talk about just that, even if
sure.
that's what one of the problems is. But that's one thing that I coach on. And, you know, like I said, moving. And one thing that I found really, really important, and I just never would have guessed this, is learning to ask other people for help. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Psychology Today came out with a study, and they found that people who do the helping when asked get what they call a helper's high. They get a real self-esteem boost. So I tell my clients, look, if you ask for help, you're not only doing a favor for yourself, you're doing it for the other person too.
Right.
There's a lot of, you know, and people are always offering, you know, it's amazing. And I'm always like, no, I'm pretty independent. You know, I'm good. I can do it myself. But, you know, if sometimes you do need it. I mean, if I hadn't reached out and coached with someone who was a speaker's coach, I wouldn't be speaking. If I hadn't reached out and worked with someone who was a musician's coach, I wouldn't be singing anymore. I would have put it down. I would have just said, right, nobody's going to ever listen to me. Well, I'm working on an album.
Huh. You know, I think that's interesting because a lot of times, you know, we hear like get a mentor all the time, right? And I have a speaker coach that I've paid, you know, $5,000 for, and he's really good at what he does. But if I didn't pay for that, if I didn't say, you know what, I mean, if I didn't step out in faith, right?
Yeah.
Then I'd be stuck where I was at the time. And it's a necessary step, right? It's a necessary move that needs to happen. But some people are just unwilling, like, oh, that's this much money? Yeah, I'm not going to, no, I can't do that. I can't afford that, or I can't, you know, whatever. So how do we move people into saying yes? Like, how do we, and I'm not talking like sales, but just anything, you know, your friend who is in bed all the time, how do we get them out of bed? How do we get them to make the right decisions? How do we say, hey, you need a mentor? And then them say, okay, well, I'll get a mentor and paying for one. Cause like I said, some people just won't.
That's right. They just won't. And you know, that person that's in bed all the time may not ever get out of bed. It's her choice if she wants to stay there. But
yeah,
it depends on what you want out of your life. You know, if you want some guidance and some constructive advice from someone who has experienced a lot of this, then you find someone. Or if you have a specific talent that you're interested in, yeah, you need training probably, especially if you're going to be involved. Because, yeah, you know, there's not only the speaking, but there's the contacting and the follow-up and the follow-up and the follow-up.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So it's not easy to do all this, but hey, it keeps me out of trouble.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep. So how do you, is it like online coaching, or do you have a course, or how do you mentor those dealing with the same things that you're dealing with?
I work with them online. You know, I usually use Zoom so I can see them and they can see me, and we have sort of a connection. And you know, I have a blueprint of different steps that, you know, although the different steps that are very they're very common. I don't mean common as in common, but it's usual,
sure,
that people are dealing with the issues that I want to coach about. But everyone is so different, and I can't stress that enough. Everyone with multiple sclerosis is different from the next person. And
okay,
so if I'm going to coach someone, it really kind of has to be tailored to them and their needs and their desires.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I got you.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because not everybody's the same. And I'm sure that, you know, MS is not the same for everybody. It affects everybody in different ways. So
it
yeah,
does.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Cool. Thanks. I'm in a lot of Facebook groups, MS Facebook groups, and it's,
okay,
there's a lot of people that, you know, and you can't promote anything in the group. So I just want to, I just want to tell them,
right.
I mean, for one thing, pain is a huge issue. And a lot of people truly suffer with it. There are different things to do about that. You know, there is, you know how some people feel about it, but there's medical marijuana if you're in a state that has it.
Yeah.
CBD, which is from the marijuana plant, but it has no THC, so you don't get high, but it does kill your pain. Stretching is something that I think people don't realize how helpful it is. Really deep stretching. And there have been times when I was in so much pain and I just stretched and stretched until it went away. And other times I meditate and the pain goes away. Other times I sing. And I actually was quoted in a health magazine about singing as a physical positive, because it can lower your blood pressure. It can, you know, brings the breath through if you're singing right. You breathe from deep down and all the way through and out. And it just, I never had pain while I was singing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting. So they quoted me, and that was my big magazine quote.
Awesome. So speaking of Facebook groups and different things out there, are there any type of influencers that you said before that there's a lot of celebrities that deal with that? I didn't know that. Are there influencers out there that, like, in this area that help people through it?
There are companies that I need to connect with, actually, that, do certain things for people with MS or create certain products for people with MS. I've always wanted to get a scooter. Haven't done that yet, but but there are no Richard Bransons. There are no Bill Gates that are the kind of influencer. But there are some famous people that have MS. I mean, I don't know if you watched The Sopranos when it was on, but the girl who played the daughter, she has MS now, and she's been very, very vocal about it. She's been on the cover of Momentum, which is an MS magazine put out by the National Multiple Sclerosis Society.org, in case anybody wants to go there. And if, you know, there's two things I want to share, too, is that there's a great site on the web called the MS Gym, G-Y-M. And this guy does fantastic. He can create circuits for you and all kinds of things. So that's very helpful. And what was the other thing I wanted to tell you about? I can't remember. Well, it'll come back. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, because I feel like if somebody's dealing with this, like, where do they go? Where do they turn? Besides books and magazines and Google and everything else, I mean, and I wish there kind of was
okay,
so people have been through it. Yeah. Cause I kind of wish there was like a Tony Robbins type person or like a Les Brown or like an inspirational person, you know, they kind of bring it all together. But,
me.
So let's talk about, I was going to say, but let's talk about you. Like that's where you come in. You know, there are coaches out there that are coaching people through this, I hate to call it disease, through this diagnosis. You know what I mean?
It is
people
a disease.
That are, yeah. Well, just make
I know.
It sound
I'm,
like, you know
I know.
I mean?
Yeah, I do know, because I have trouble with the wording for my webinar because I hate the word too. You know, I went through disorders, you know, all kinds of words, but it's a chronic illness. You know, so
yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, so there's people that, you know, like you that are, you know, helping people through it. They are in their corner and it's not a journey that you have to do alone. There are, and you said there's like 3 million people in the United States or in the world or whatever that deal with it.
3.2 million people globally and
globally,
a half a million.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also coach globally. So, you know, if you can speak English, I'm your girl. And I don't have a website right now because I'm having a new one built, but you can schedule a call with me if you want to talk on Acuity, and I'm Coach Trish Roberts 7 at Gmail on Acuity. So I have lots of times free, and I'd love to speak with anyone who wants a free call. And my webinar is going to be up really soon, so keep an eye out for that too. That'll be up within a month or so. Yeah. And you know, if you just want to talk for a little while, book a call. You know, you don't have to buy anything. I mean, maybe you'll want to, but you don't have to. So nothing expected. And I'd love to hear from you.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. So what does the rest of your 2018 look like? Are you getting new businesses, family, different adventures going on?
I'm doing a live event on October 12th, 13th, and 14th, I believe it is, in Montclair, New Jersey. It's going to be called Thrive, Don't Survive, and it's for anybody dealing with a difficulty, with an adversity. And we're going to have 3 days of community building and sharing and problem solving. And I'm so pumped for it. It's going to be great. So that's one thing that's going
Very
on.
Cool.
And then I'm going to speakers retreat in September. And then my husband's going to join me, and we're going to take a little vacay in California.
Awesome. What's the speakers retreat about?
I did a speakers program, and it sort of lasted a year long. And now this is the kind of culmination of it. And we're going to give our final speeches, and they're going to video, you know, we'll have a demo reel from it. So that'll be great.
Oh, very cool.
Can always use another demo reel.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, especially if it's freshly done, though. Who's putting it on?
Tiamo Devatori is his name. T-I-A-M-O D-E-V-E-T-T-O-R-I.
Wow.
And then right after our retreat, he's going to have another speaker, fearless speaker event. So.
Cool.
Awesome. That's
good for you.
I'm so happy that I'm not one of those people who's afraid to be on stage.
All right.
Because I know there are people that I really have a lot of anxiety about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So as we wrap up the show, this is the shameless plug moment. You can plug your friends, quotes, websites, or Facebooks, or products, your favorite movie, give a shout out, whatever you want. This is your moment to shamelessly plug. Go.
Well, I'm going to shamelessly plug my work. I'm sorry. Like I said, if you have an adversity, go to Acuity. That's A-C-U-I-T-Y. And just book a call and let's talk. And also on Facebook, I'm not Trish Roberts. On LinkedIn, I'm Trish Roberts. So that's another way to contact me is through LinkedIn. On Facebook, I am Patricia Preston, P-R-E-S-T-O-N, hyphen Roberts. So that's just a snafu that sort of messed everything up. But I just want to plug believing in yourself enough to take action. Take some action for yourself. Maybe a discussion is the way to start. You got to start somewhere. So write to me or email me or call me or book a call with me, whatever you like. My phone number is 347-9-4542.
Perfect. Love it. So as we close the show, I always ask for you to deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
Oh, boy.
We ask the hard questions on this show.
Yeah, I would have prepared for that. Well, I think Einstein's quote about insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So if you don't take action, what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. And plus, if you're not exercising, you could be progressing worse. So take care of your body as much as you can, and your head and your heart, because they're all important parts of us.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you, Trish, for coming on the show. You have been an amazing, amazing guest, and I love your story. Love the work that you're doing with this critical illness, diagnosis, disease, whatever you want to call it. It is much needed, and I applaud the transformation that you've gone through by embracing, acknowledging, and accepting what life has handed to you. And you've overcome to the point where you're now inspiring others to do the same. And I think it's a very, very beautiful story, very awesome movement that you're building. So I applaud you for your efforts.
Thank you so much. It's just been a pleasure to be on here.
Oh, thank you so much. So any last words before we exit the show?
I think everyone should have an affirmation. So my affirmation is every day I expand in abundance and success, love and joy. And I inspire those around me to do the same.
Very awesome. Very cool. What a great way to end the show. Thank you, Trish, for coming on the show and being a guest on Life Transformation Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated with you in this episode, I beg you, please reach out and schedule a call with Coach Trish Roberts. You can email her at Coach Trish Roberts and the number 7 at gmail.com. You can hook up with her on Facebook and LinkedIn. It's amazing, amazing the work that she's doing. Even though she was diagnosed with this, she took this diagnosis, transformed it, and is now using this to empower other people. So if you know somebody battling with multiple sclerosis, you can get a hold of Trish Roberts and she will set you up on the path for success in dealing with this illness. If anything resonated with you, subscribe to the show, join our Facebook community, and never miss an episode. As we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out your core values that you have deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.